This is Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Ottawa Now. It is December the 23rd, which means that it's Christmas Eve's Eve. Is that a thing, Chris, or am I making that up? It's the eve of Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve's Eve, the 23rd.
That works.
We'll go with it. How you doing? Great to have you along for the ride. We're on the air until 6 o'clock tonight. It is minus 5 out there, feeling like minus 12 currently. That is the wind chill value, according to Environment Canada. But it's about to warm right up. Christmas Eve is going to be 8 degrees, and it looks like it's going to be a wet one. Periods of rain, 60% chance of rain. And then on Christmas itself, on Christmas Day, 4 degrees. So still pretty balmy and still pretty wet. Rain or snow, but sounds like it's going to be rain. And we do have a special weather statement in effect. They're saying significant rainfall Christmas Eve into Christmas morning. About 30 to 50 millimeters are likely. It could turn to scattered flurries or periods of snow, depending on what the temperature does, if it drops to below the freezing mark. But as of right now, it looks like it's going to be pretty warm. So a rainy Christmas Eve and a rainy Christmas morning. We've got a lot coming up on the show today. It looks like the Premier and Dr. Vera Etches have made up. Not that Dr. Vera Etches was hurling insults at the Premier or anything, but earlier this week, the Premier's office blasted both the mayor and the medical officer of health, calling them reckless and irresponsible. And it looks like they just got off the phone and they had a phone call this afternoon. Now everyone is making nice. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. But I want to start the show with two big pieces of vaccine-related news. Health Canada has now approved a new COVID-19 vaccine, the second one for Canada, the Moderna vaccine. And we're getting more doses of the Pfizer vaccine. That's the one we already have. Health Canada has now reviewed Moderna and says it is safe and effective.
This morning, we got the news that Health Canada has completed the review of the Moderna vaccine and found it to be safe and effective. Canada has an internationally recognized process of independent review, and I know that our best experts have upheld this highest standard. Now that Health Canada has approved the Moderna vaccine, we have the green light to start rolling it out across the country. The first doses of our guaranteed 40 million dose order from Moderna will arrive in the coming days.
So this is the second COVID-19 vaccine to be approved in Canada. The first doses are expected to arrive within 48 hours, and they're expecting to receive more doses as the months go by. Now, what's the difference between the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine? Say it with me. Temperature. Pfizer vaccine needs to be stored at minus 70, which makes it difficult to move, which means that they haven't been able to move it into long-term care homes, whereas the Moderna vaccine is more of a regular temperature. It can be stored in a regular freezer at minus 20, which means that it's a lot more portable. The vaccine is 94% effective. Health Canada says it's been well tolerated by participants, and they haven't identified any safety concerns. The other big news is, as well as getting Moderna in 48 hours, we're also getting more doses of the Pfizer vaccine.
On the Pfizer vaccine, today I also have some more good news to share. I can announce that we will be receiving an additional 250,000 doses from Pfizer next month. That takes us up to a total of almost 751,000 Pfizer vaccine doses for January. Between the early doses we've already received and the shipments now scheduled, we're on track to have at least 1.2 million doses from both Pfizer and Moderna delivered by January 31st.
So we're expecting to have 1.2 million doses. That's for 600,000 people. Again, when you look at the Canadian population, it's not much, but it's a start and it is good news. Meantime, officials in the UK have identified another new variant of COVID-19. Matt Hancock is the UK Health Secretary.
We've detected two cases of another new variant of coronavirus here in the UK. Both are contacts of cases who have travelled from South Africa over the past few weeks. The Chief Scientific Advisor and the Chief Medical Officer and others met their South African counterparts over the last day, and we are incredibly grateful to the South African government for the rigour of their science and the openness and the transparency with which they have rightly acted as we did when we discovered a new variant here. This new variant is highly concerning because it is yet more transmissible and it appears to have mutated further than the new variant that's been discovered in the UK.
So this isn't good. This is not a good sign. This is highly concerning, as he said, and they have moved quite quickly to clamp down on this. They're trying to stop the spread.
First, we are quarantining cases and close contacts of cases found here in the UK. Second, we're placing immediate restrictions on travel from South Africa. And finally, and most importantly, anyone in the UK who has been in South Africa in the past fortnight, and anyone who is a close contact of someone who's been in South Africa in the last fortnight, must quarantine immediately. By quarantine, I mean they must restrict all contact with any other person whatsoever.
So they are concerned about this, and so is Canada. Today, the Prime Minister also announced that Canada is extending our ban on flights from the UK. We're extending it for another 2 weeks.
Today, I can announce that we will extend this temporary suspension of passenger flights from the UK to Canada for another 2 weeks until January 6th, so we can prevent this new variant of COVID-19 from spreading in Canada. If you've arrived from the UK recently, the Government of Canada has been in the process of reaching out with more directions.
So there is a lot of fear. There's a lot of conversation about this mutation of the COVID-19 virus, the South African variant that they're talking about. Here's what we know so far, and here's what we don't know. And I think it's important to tell you what we do know as well as what we don't know so that you've got the full picture. It sounds really scary when you hear that it may be more effective at spreading. And yes, that is a threat to consider. However, it does not appear to provoke more serious symptoms. So just because they believe that, yes, it may be more transmissible, it may hit younger people harder, it may be slightly more resistant to vaccines. Again, I'm saying it may be. This is according to scientists in South Africa. But there is no research to confirm that it makes people more sick or that it requires different treatment. So again, we're just learning about this. We're trying to methodically work through what we know. And the biggest, most important part in the early stages, and hopefully we've learned this from last time, is that we got to shut it down. Shut it down. Try to prevent the new strain from hitting Canada. Try to prevent this from spreading further and further to more countries around the world. Because the mutations detected in this new South African variant may apparently allow the virus to better bind to and enter cells, which would potentially ease transmission. So we need to watch this. We need to cut down on flights and travel. And on that note, the Prime Minister had a message for people who are going on trips anyway. And I don't know how much you've seen this happening. I don't have any close friends doing this, but I have heard from people who are contemplating it and they say, oh, well, we go down to Florida every winter. We go down to Myrtle Beach every winter. This is what we do. We got family down there. We're going to isolate. Well, if you're in that demographic, and I know a lot of people in Ottawa, a lot of people, Toronto, Kingston, people do this in Ontario. He's pleading with you not to do it. Don't do it. This was his message.
This afternoon, I also want to say a few words about traveling and the holidays. Let's be clear. This is not the time for a vacation abroad. Even if you travel every winter, please rethink your plans. In many parts of the country, hospitals are already struggling to cope with new cases. There are new strains of this disease in places like the United Kingdom. The situation is very serious.
So, you know, there has been some chatter that Canadian snowbirds, not only would they go down to Florida, but that if they're older than 70, they could receive the vaccine in Florida faster. Yeah, because we know that the governor down there said the state would prioritize older people over younger essential workers. So then the question becomes, if you're a snowbird, do you try to go down there into the Sunshine State and get a COVID-19 vaccine? And apparently, according to the president of Travel Secure Inc., which is a travel insurance brokerage in Ontario, he said, well, the clientele dipped to pretty much nothing last spring and summer. No one was traveling. No one was going down. No one wanted travel insurance. Now, apparently, it's climbed back up to about 30% of the norm. So people are getting medical insurance. They are maybe planning on going on trips. And some of them have apparently told him that they're considering the possibility of getting the vaccine in Florida because they would be eligible, basically, to get it in Florida before they'd be eligible in Ontario. The Prime Minister's asking you not to do it. Don't do it, he says. Do you know anybody who's considering going down to the United States or anyone who's considering traveling in general? I'd love to hear from you. That's such a foreign concept to me right now. I can't imagine getting on a plane and leaving the country as we're heading into a lockdown for 28 days, honestly. But I've seen some people do it. I follow people on Instagram, follow people on social media. There are people doing it. And then the scary part is sometimes they come back and they don't follow the rules and they don't self-isolate. And they see family members. I saw somebody seeing family members with young children. What the heck are you thinking?
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
224, welcome back to Ottawa Now. Speaking of the vaccine, healthcare workers continue to receive the Pfizer vaccine. That's the one we already have across Canada. And a lot of them are lining up to get it. And by the way, you know one of them because one of them is a familiar voice on our station, Dr. Abdu Sharkawi, an infectious disease expert. He actually just received his first of the two Pfizer vaccine doses yesterday, and he was pretty excited about it.
You know, physically, I had goosebumps waiting for the shot to be delivered into my arm. Emotionally, just overwhelmed, quite honestly, just so many feelings to process, incredible amounts of gratitude and feeling fortunate, just really thankful for science and for medical research and how it helps us as a society and shapes our lives for the better and saves lives. I just feel incredibly blessed. I'm so happy to be a Canadian, to have the political will and the mind behind getting this vaccine to us helps me immensely as a frontline healthcare worker know that I'm feeling a bit more confident and a little less vulnerable when I go home to hug my wife and kids. And believe me, I hugged them yesterday like I haven't in months. It felt really amazing. And I hope more Canadians can experience what I'm experiencing soon. And I want to point out, it's not changing my habits. I'm still masking everywhere I go. I'm washing my hands rigorously and vigorously. I'm limiting my contacts. I'm keeping my eye fixed on the prize here, and I hope everybody remembers that.
Dr. Abdu Sharkawi, very emotional and excited about getting the first of two Pfizer vaccine doses. Meantime, 226 in Toronto, the mayor there is getting quite blunt with his ask for people over the holidays. Seems like he's pretty fed up of asking nicely. He's pleading people to stay home and limit their gatherings, and not just that. He says to Torontonians, if you think you know somebody who's going to disregard the rules, call them out for it.
Their Christmas or the Christmas of their families without their loved ones. Think of the 85 Torontonians who are just admitted to hospital, 52 of them with breathing tubes, and they'll probably have those breathing tubes in on Christmas Day. Think about the people who will get sick just so that you might attend some sort of a party or gathering or go somewhere that you've been asked not to go.
Toronto Mayor John Tory saying, this is real. This is the difference between people getting sick. This could be the difference between people being hospitalized and being on oxygen. What you do matters. And you know, Chris, I've said this many, many times. People have got to do the right thing, but I'm not in the business of COVID shaming. Right? Like, I think COVID shaming has practically become a sport. It's a hobby for a lot of people. Oh my God, did you see what Sharon's doing? Good heavens, Sharon. The mask goes over your nose. You know, the people who love to talk about people in their family, people in their friend group, their neighbors. I'm not speaking to Sharon anymore because she doesn't know how to wear a mask. Yeah, she's irresponsible. Can you believe Sharon is seeing her grandkids like that outside? Does she even know what distancing means? Yeah, that's why I didn't invite Sharon over to my Christmas dinner, because we're all so safe. We sit really far apart, inside with no masks. You know, it's only the 16 of us, and we know everyone, Chris. They're all so safe. Sharon is definitely not going to be there, but our neighbor Johnny, He's coming. He only sees his wife's family. And his wife only has book club, you know, a couple times a month with people inside. But I know all of them. We're so safe. We're so safe. We're not like Sharon. You know people like that. So I don't want to get like that because I think it's out of control. And honestly, I also think the shame game or the blame game, that ultimately at the end of the day, it may give you this feeling of moral superiority and you're basking in how wonderful you are. And there's some satisfaction in that. But I don't actually think that pointing the finger like that and going after people is working. I don't think it works.
No. Well, you know what? I've been caught a couple of times COVID shaming. I even on air.
I mean, yes, there are some people that when it's outright and it's out of control, then yes. But I'm talking about the people who use this like a hobby. Like they're on about it nonstop. Oh, did you see the neighbors? Oh, did you see this? Oh, did you see that?
I should call bylaw.
They get their jollies that way. It's a bit much.
A bit.
And I also don't know from a public health perspective if it's all that effective. Yes, there are times when people should be shamed. But I'm talking about people who make it an everyday activity. It's like the person who waits by the window to see a car that parks on the curb in front of their house. And then they count down the hours. It's been 2 hours. It's been 3 hours. All right, 311, time to call bylaw. Oh, the kids behind us are playing in the pool, making too much noise in the afternoon. Oh, my God, it's 2 o'clock. Got to call bylaw. I'm talking about people like that.
What do you think about Tory's tactic there? Going a little more blunt.
No, I like that. I think it's fair.
So do I.
I think it's fair.
You've tried being nice and you've tried,
yeah.
I don't know, just kind of reasoning with people. But mm-hmm. there are some people that you can't reason with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say I've had some uncomfortable conversations with friends. And there are a few friends where I've ultimately just said, well, I'm not going to be participating in that. You've got to make the decision for yourself. Safety is something that is personal, and you need to take that risk assessment for people in your life and for your household. That doesn't involve me. Thanks for the invite. I'm not going to be attending. Best of luck. And I've just had to walk away from it because, you know, at a certain point, people are going to make their decisions and their own personal choices for their own families. It is 2:30. Graham has all the news you need to know. By the way, I don't know anyone named Sharon. I was just using that name as an example. Coming up, Graham with the news, and then Dr. Mitch Shulman on the Moderna vaccine being approved for Canada. That's coming up next.
Hang a shining star upon the highest bell.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580. CFRA.
This morning, we got the news that Health Canada has completed the review of the Moderna vaccine and found it to be safe and effective. Canada has an internationally recognized process of independent review, and I know that our best experts have upheld this highest standard. Now that Health Canada has approved the Moderna vaccine, we have the green light to start rolling it out across the country. The first doses of our guaranteed 40 million dose order from Moderna will arrive in the coming days.
That is the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, speaking about an hour and a half ago, announcing that Health Canada has approved another COVID-19 vaccine, this time from Moderna, and it'll be for use in this country with the first doses expected to be delivered by Christmas. Canada is now the second country in the world after the U.S. to approve the Moderna shot, and this is the second coronavirus vaccine to get the green light here. 2 weeks ago, the Federal Health Agency in Canada approved the Pfizer vaccine. So it is 2:39 on the show, and we're going to bring back on Dr. Mitch Shulman, Bell Media's medical consultant. Hello, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy holiday, by the way, to everybody.
Yes, thank you so much. Happy holidays to you as well. So I've done my best in my non-expert way of trying to explain some of the differences between Moderna and Pfizer, but I'd love to get from you your impression of the Moderna vaccine against Pfizer and your reaction to the fact that it's now been approved for use in our country.
Bottom line, they're both really cool vaccines, and in all honesty, there's no difference between them in terms of which one I would get if it was available to me. Both use a new technology called messenger RNA. And basically what that is it's a telegram. and the telegram goes to your cell. It tells the cell, could you please manufacture the spike protein from this virus? It gets poured into your circulation, and your body mounts an immune response. And then, poof, the telegram disappears exactly like an old Mission Impossible tape after it's done its Mission Impossible telling you stuff. And so it doesn't stay around. It doesn't affect your genetic material. It doesn't go near your genetic material. It's nothing like that. Brand-new technology. First time a vaccine has ever been made using this technology. It has tremendous potential. What's the difference between the Pfizer and the Moderna? The Pfizer vaccine, because of the way it's made, needs to be stored at a colder temperature to keep it stable until it's ready to be injected. And that's why it has to be stored and transported at minus 80 degrees centigrade until you're getting ready to use it. The Moderna, a little bit more stable because of the way they've manufactured it and other factors in the actual vaccine itself. And so it can be stored at minus 20. So you can understand right away, a little bit easier to transport, the huge difference between being stored at minus 80 and minus 20, and a little bit easier to get going to other people who may not have necessarily in their community the facilities to store something at minus 80 until it's ready. Other than that, basically the same side effect profile. Both really have basically the same efficacy. I'll be curious to see. The Pfizer vaccine had a couple of people who had serious allergic reactions in general. These are the type of people that run around with an adrenaline auto-injector on a regular basis because they have such serious, unpredictable allergies. At least two people in the UK, and I think a few others elsewhere, have had allergic-type reactions to the Pfizer vaccine. Mm-hmm. All did well, all recovered from their, you know, didn't nothing horrible happened. But I've not heard that with the Moderna. It should happen. It'd be something you'd expect. You wouldn't be surprised if someone somewhere had an allergic reaction to it. But we certainly haven't heard that yet.
And it's supposed to be 94% effective. They observed that after people received two doses of the vaccine about 28 days apart. But they did actually recently release documents that suggested there is evidence that just one dose may stop the virus's spread.
Not enough, though. Please don't go by that. I understand exactly. Both vaccines require two shots, and in fact, most of the vaccines that we'll be seeing need two shots. That's because,
of course, of course. I just thought it was interesting that the asymptomatic infection was reduced by 63% after the first shot. So, of course, get both of them. I just thought that was fascinating that even one dose, it appears, does make some sort of a difference.
Without question. See, what happens is after your first dose of either vaccine in about 12 days, you start getting antibodies. In other words, those protective parts of your immune system. After the second dose, about 7 days afterwards, you get probably full protection. And that's why you need both doses to really guarantee, which is also why even if you've had COVID-19, if you can get the vaccine, you'll want to get the vaccine. There's no increased risk of having a harmful reaction to it, but at least this way we can guarantee the strength of your immune response. Because people, when they're naturally infected with COVID-19, can have a 200-time difference in terms of how their immunity is primed and stroked and gotten up to speed. And so with the vaccine, I can be sure that you're going to have a certain level of protection. So even if you've had COVID-19, because we're not sure about how strong your immune response will be and how long it will last, it's always a good idea to get vaccinated, assuming there'll be enough vaccine to go around for that.
There's a lot of concern, and people are reading about this South African variant of COVID-19 and the fact that two cases have now been detected in the UK, and they're on edge, understandably. There's heightened anxiety right now. And I just want to get your impression, your thoughts on what we're hearing about this variant.
There have been variants since day one. The way we knew that people were occasionally reinfected was they got the disease, got better, got sick again. We tested both strains and found out they were two different strains. The virus is really stupid. It's really not even capable of doing very much other than make you miserable. But if you look at its machinery, it can't even reproduce, can't even make more of itself. It has to take over your cell's machinery to do that. And so in doing so, it's very, very common. In fact, there are going to be mutations, hundreds if not thousands of them. And we've looked at most of them. Most of them don't do anything. If anything, they make the life of the virus more miserable, which is good. Occasionally, there will be a variant like you've seen in the UK or you've seen in South Africa, and I'm sure elsewhere as well, that'll make it a little bit more likely to spread. But we're not talking about a disease that spreads like measles or mumps, which are extremely contagious. It'll be more contagious than the homegrown variety of COVID-19, but not horribly more. And the measures that you're already taking, you know, limiting the number of people you're in contact with, limiting the amount of time you spend with them, wearing a mask, hand washing, making certain there's great ventilation wherever you are, all those things will protect you, even if this is, quote unquote, a variant or mutant COVID-19. And the good news story is, look how quickly they figured out what was going on. Look how quickly they were tracking it. Look how quickly they know where it is. And they're already making sure that the vaccine will work against it. There's absolutely no evidence that the vaccine will be less effective against these variants. So tremendous sleuthing here, detective work, really great information getting out to us very quickly. Nothing so far that should concern everyone, but I'm confident that if something does happen, we'll know about it very quickly. And that's part of the beauty of this, is you get so much information so quickly. Part of the problem is you get so much information so quickly. And until you can put it into context, it becomes a little bit scary.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for providing that reassurance and some of that much-needed context for us. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, Dr. Mitch Shulman. Great to have you on the show.
Always a pleasure. Happy holidays, everybody.
Dr. Shulman, Bell Media medical consultant. Hopefully, they gave you a little bit more perspective about what is going on, because I know it can be anxiety-inducing to see some of these headlines. Oh my gosh, there's a variant. What's going on in South Africa? A little bit more information about what we know so far. It is 2:46. Colton Prail has a look at your weather and traffic. And when we come back, it looks like the tiff between our medical officer of health and the premier is over. We'll chat with Graham about that.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
.250, welcome back to Ottawa Now. Well, maybe it's because we're getting so close to Christmas and it's the festive holiday spirit, but whatever it is, it looks like the relationship between the city of Ottawa and the premier is being mended slightly today. Premier Doug Ford tweeted this out around 2:00. He said, "I had a great chat with Dr. Vera Etches this afternoon about the situation in Ottawa and public health measures across the province. Dr. Etches has been a public health leader in our province from day one, and we thank her for her advice and leadership. Praise for Dr. Etches," which comes just days after talking points obtained by CTV News earlier this week denounced her as reckless and irresponsible. Quite the departure from what we were hearing in tone from the premier's office earlier this week. Let me read the talking points to you. The premier's office in talking points said the mayor and Dr. Etches were being reckless and irresponsible for opposing the province-wide lockdown. And it said, I quote, "Some politicians and pundits may be okay with body bags piling up on their front doorsteps, but we are not." Now, later on at a news conference, the same day that those talking points came out, the premier was a lot softer, but he did classify this spat as politically motivated. He suggested that politics were at play. Joining me right now, chief anchor for CTV Ottawa, Graham Richardson. My.
Hey, Christy.
Things are on the mend. Everyone's kissing and making up. Although you notice there was no tweet about the mayor.
Right. So here's what we have. Clearly the premier's office was taken aback and unhappy with the only public health unit in the province pushing back on the lockdown, Mayor Watson and Dr. Etches. And they put out, though, the premier, in the name of the premier, those talking points were put out. This was not an accident. It was shared with, sources had shared it with reporters, not just us, the Globe and Mail as well, and others. In the news conference, the premier, he took the Ottawa question from me last. And did not do a follow-up. And didn't
That's right.
Go
you
as
had no chance to ask a follow-up question. That was
right.
The end of the news conference.
And didn't go as far as the talking points.
No.
So none of this matters, right? This is an ability of the premier's office to slap back at the city of Ottawa. They got their message out. It was the headline, reckless, body bags. They wanted it to be that way. You don't just do this by accident. The leader takes the high road. sends his messages out. He says, I'm here to save lives. I don't want to play politics, despite the fact that his office played politics with the talking points. And then the next day they mend fences, right? So this is actually a very well-executed political strategy to get the message out there that Ottawa is out of line and we're doing this for the betterment of the province. Lost in all of this, of course, is the fact that Etches is right in terms of the numbers and the justification. We are closer, even with 56 today, we are closer to Northern Ontario than we are to GTA, than we are to all of the problem areas. That's their point. Like why this arbitrary line at Sudbury? It is a fair question. So here's where we are. So bury the hatchet. Don't call names. Don't get political, even though he's just done that, or his office has just done that. And he, you know, they would say, well, so did Watson when he said he was blindsided. Okay.
Also a fair question, and I'm going to play you a clip here because I want your impression of this.
Yeah.
Also a fair question is, all right, so the color-coded system, we're in orange, that will exist eventually, but right now it's being torn down. We're all in a provincial lockdown, and as you said, it's broken up into regions. We are in southern Ontario because anything below Sudbury is southern. Anything above is northern Ontario. So then the question becomes, all right, then what? How do we get out of this? People are hungry for information. They want to know, what are the goals? What are the targets that we have to hit? Because we've hit them before. So how do we get out of this lockdown? And so I had the medical officer of health, Dr. David Williams, on the show yesterday, and I asked him point blank a couple times, what needs to happen for Ottawa to get out of this? And I had been told by the health minister, Christine Elliott, she said, it's not a specific metric or a number, it's a pattern. And I said, okay, but we're already in a pattern, which is that things have been fairly stable. And so I asked Dr. David Williams, what needs to happen for Ottawa to be out of the lockdown? Here's what he said.
What I would need to, what I'm looking and forward to see is that not just Ottawa, but the other areas around Ottawa, Cornwall area and other ones, and we have like Kingston and different areas where they have jumped up again recently with data and the information numbers, with universities closed for the Christmas season. It might come back down. We have different factors in different places.
So again, it goes back to travel, Graham.
Yeah.
And it's not just in Ottawa. They're saying it hinges on what is going on in other areas of the province. So then I pushed a little bit further and I said, okay, so let's say Ottawa continues to be stable. Let's say that things hold really well for 14 days or beyond 14 days. But Eastern Ontario is still higher. And we know that Eastern Ontario hasn't been as good as Ottawa, but they're very close. People drive in and out. Do we then end up being held back because Eastern Ontario isn't as good or Gatineau isn't as good and we're concerned about travel? And he could not answer that. So I think people are a little bit frustrated because they just want to understand, what are the next steps? How do we improve the situation? How do we get out of this?
Yeah. You know what? They should just hire Sharkawi to do their communications. Day one after the lockdown was announced, the 28-day thing, and everybody's freaking out, or a lot of people are freaking out. Sharkawi comes on the new news at CTV and says, Ottawa's got to take one for the team. You've done a great job. The rest of the province is not in good shape. We can't open one big city and have all the other big cities closed. End of story, right? Like, I think most people would accept that. They'd grumble a bit. It's not fair. You know, yes, they're, you know, like I understand, like, you can't have an island. Ottawa's not an island. But instead, what do we have, Christy? We have, well, Quebec hordes are coming over. And then it's, well, it's Eastern Ontario. And the truth is, there is no numbers justification with empty ICUs to lock down an economy. But if they're going to say it's province-wide, then, you know, maybe they say the same thing to Northern Ontario. If they didn't say what they said to Northern Ontario and draw that line, then, you know, there's no vote. The whole province is down for 28 days, right? So this is where when it's really, really bad, you got to go with the numbers. And in fairness, Watson is right. They have moved the goalposts. You know, here we are on a numbers scale, and then they move the goalposts, and it doesn't matter anymore. And they've got to advocate for businesses. And Etches and Watson, anybody who's covered Etches, she's the most cautious person around. Like, don't give me this that she's being reckless and saying everybody go around. Like,
I just thought that was one of the funniest, not funniest, but the most outrageous ways to describe her, because she's a very guarded person. She's always watching. She's monitoring, and she's very cautious and careful about what she says.
And the other thing, Christy, the two things that stood out for me was the Quebec Hordes comment. It looked like he was making it up, or they were just kind of, because that's not true, according to the Hotel Association. It's basically a wash. We go over there, they come over here. It's not as advertised. The Hotel Association.
But here's the thing on that, Graham. Yeah. So the Hotel Association, obviously, they're doing their job.
Sure.
Their job is to advocate for hotels in Ottawa and Gatineau. So, I mean, anything that we hear from different advocacy associations, you've got to take with a grain of salt.
Sure.
Because you have to understand they're doing their job. But, you know, anecdotally, yes, I've been hearing for weeks, we've had people on the show who work in the service industry who have said, half of my bookings are coming from Quebec. But this has been now for weeks. So to me, it doesn't seem like anything is changing, because Gatineau was already in the red zone.
And go to
when they make this change, the question becomes, what is the data?
Right.
And go to Chelsea. They don't have the data.
Right. And go to Chelsea or Tremblant. It cuts both ways. There's lots of Ontario people over there too. Right. That's my point. I think it's a wash. Anecdotally, I hear you, and I've heard that too. But the fact that the premier justified a lockdown based on that was interesting.
Right.
And the other point was the sewage. Alex Munter tweeted out, look out, the sewage is going back up again.
But it's not that bad. And then you talk
to the researchers and it's not that bad. So that says to me the premier's office was looking for something to say, look out, Ottawa.
Yeah.
And then there's this metric, which is a legitimate metric. But Dr. Etches sees that every day. Anyway.
Right. And Dr. Alex McKenzie, who is co-leading the wastewater stuff, says that it was, he told me yesterday, he said it was up a tad. That's a direct quote.
Yeah.
And he said the idea that it's going to spiral out of control, that this is the beginning of some massive peak or northern Italy, he said, I don't think we're looking at that.
No.
And he said, we've been seeing this little wave up and down. You know, it goes up, it goes down. He called it a delicate dance. And he said it's been going on for months now. And of course, time will tell. And obviously, we need to watch it. We need to be responsible. But he really wasn't of the mind that this is the beginning of disaster.
No. And truth be told, none of this matters. Like, it matters, but it doesn't matter.
Oh, we're going into a lockdown either way.
Well, and we have to keep the numbers low. That's the most important thing. You have to keep the numbers low. And zero should be the goal. And reduced contacts and all of that. And everything that they've been saying over and over again. And,
zero new cases, you mean?
Zero new cases should be the goal, and lower your contacts to just your household as much as you can, and mask up, wash your hands, keep your distance, cut down on your, do not do a big Christmas, and things will be better. Things will be better.
All right, Graham, always great to have you on the show. If I don't talk to you.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
I probably won't talk to you. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
I hope it's relaxing. I hope you get some much needed time off.
I hope this Christmas is as nice for you as Canada Day is. For those who don't know, Christie's Christmas is Canada Day.
I'm very patriotic.
Yes.
I can't wait.
It'll be a better
Canada Day. I'm going to have a two-day Canada Day festival.
Extravaganza.
Next time that we can do Canada Day properly. Because this year, it was taken away. Not that that's the most important thing, honestly. That's really bottom of the list. All right, Graham has all the news you need to know. It is 3 o'clock. We'll be right back.